Well, the Prime Minister is demanding answers on whether the nation's intelligence system may have led to Monday's fatal siege in Sydney. Tony Abbott has promised to make public the report into what happened and why. In his words, the system didn't adequately deal with man Haron Monis, given his long and checkered history. But should Monis have been on the counter-terrorism watch list? While police have stopped short of calling him a terrorist, the PM has described the siege as a brush with terrorism. Criminologist Mark Locks from Queensland's University of Technology told Cathy Van Extel the tragedy was the act of a mentally ill man rather than an ISIS terrorist.
This is not the same as a terrorist operation. If we go back through all the terrorist operations, the first thing they do is prove their bona fides by taking some form of violent action, such as showing they will kill someone. This didn't happen. So we're not dealing with a classic terrorist situation. Just because he made protestations of connections to IS doesn't mean that he had any connections with them or even understood what they were about. If we look at what ISIS wanted people to do, this was not it. ISIS wanted people to go out, behead people in public, cause mayhem, commit acts of violence. So if this had been an ISIS attack, people would have been dead immediately.
The Prime Minister has described this siege as a brush with terrorism. As a criminologist, how would you classify the siege?
Simply saying I'm associated with IS doesn't mean that he was trying to achieve IS's goals, because he wasn't asking for IS's goals to be met. He was actually just trying to get some personal recognition by having his opportunity to talk directly to the Prime Minister. And that's not the same as trying to seek a terrorism goal. This was a leverage. It wasn't an attack. So he wasn't trying to commit terror. He was actually holding hostages to get access. And I know it sounds like a fine difference, but it is a significant thing from the point of view of what we class as terrorism. So terrorism per se is to cause fear in order to extort a political outcome. He was after a personal outcome, not a political outcome.
But he was using fear to produce an outcome. He was certainly emphasising religion. He had an Islamic flag, and by the sheer act of taking so many hostages, you're causing fear.
What he wanted was the recognition that the Prime Minister will finally listen to me, and once he listens to me, he'll understand. That's different to saying, I'm going to hold these hostages to make you change your policy. He actually has an ego-driven rather than a political-driven agenda. You will understand once I finally get the chance to explain to you my logic, then you will know that I am correct, and it's about being correct. It's not about bringing about an outcome. And this is not a unique situation.
So how should this siege be characterised then?
This is much closer to a mental health issue than a terrorism issue. And none of the mechanisms that we have or will ever have in the future in order to profile people who are in the terrorist community, and there are genuine threats out there that the police and the military intelligence agencies look for, and they find them and they take justifiable action, they will not have prioritised this person. The mechanisms that we use to look for terrorist operations will not pick this person up. He was a threat to the community, but it's a mental health threat. And we really should have been looking at the mental health processes that he slipped through rather than the military and other intelligence processes.
Well, we have the Prime Minister who says that he wants to find out why Monis was not on the security watch list, given his criminal history. He's suggesting that there seems to have been a breakdown in the system.
That's right. And when he gets his report, they'll probably give a very cogent report explaining exactly why he wasn't, that he may have appeared, and everyone would have said, this guy does not look like the sort of person we need to worry about from our perspective. That doesn't mean he wasn't a person who may have caused some social harm, but he certainly wouldn't have looked like a suspect for future terrorist activity.
Certainly the Prime Minister says that the system wasn't adequate in this case. Given the charges against Monis and his background, should he have been on bail?
In my personal opinion, I don't think any bail system in Australia would have held him, given that he didn't already have a violent criminal history. So the case in question, certainly his lawyer is saying the magistrate decided that it was a very weak case. So that's not a good enough reason to hold someone. The presumption is that you get bail, not that you're held. So it's up to the Crown to prove it.
So what do you think the lessons are then to be taken from this?
I don't actually have a solution to preventing this in the future. I mean, other than, you know, well-resourced mental health systems in Australia, I think that this is definitely a case that is the area that will provide any solution if one exists. the work that the policing and intelligence agencies do is very, very good in Australia. They're successful, but this is outside of the scope of their investigations, and it would not have been picked up by them. So if we are simply looking at a policing and intelligence response to this situation, I think we're going the wrong way. They should be a part of the response, but it's certainly not the sole aspect which it should come from. There's also a mental health aspect to this as well.
Criminologist Mark Locke speaking with Cathy Van Extel.